The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It could be the first time the main event has been won with pocket kings. And he would take the king of spades here, along with any other spade or a seven. Other than that, it is over. And the river car, the queen of clubs, will end the night. Hossein Ensan put a harness on the main event final table from the start. He faltered for a bit and then rode it all the way to the finish line to become the 2019 world champion. There is one happy man who played a magnificent main event.
All right, we're doing something a little bit differently today. It doesn't quite feel right, but we're going to have fun anyway. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And there's also the Twitch channel. If you want to get on there and comment on the chat, you can do that. And it is a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. And today we're doing them a lot differently because we're starting at 1 o'clock. And don't worry.
That's right.
The usual suspects will be on at 4. They'll be doing 4 to 7.
We're just doing the big show.
Yeah, we just...
We're not taking over the big show.
No. Just a little flip-flop so that AJ could make his flight.
Yeah, I don't know why. And I came across, I guess, as like some sort of a diva yesterday, according to Nick and Barry and Joel. They presented me in this fashion, but I didn't have a choice on my flight. They gave me, because I did have a choice on what day I came back, but the flight that, because I'm coming back early, the flight that I'm coming back on, I didn't have the option to be on the flight with you guys. That's why I switched these shows, because I assumed that was the case for you guys too, that you had the same flight options.
Turns out
I'm leaving early.
Yeah, we're on the... But that's all right. You'll get to have more fun because there'll be nothing to do by the time we get there.
That's true.
There won't be any poker tournaments or anything like that. So,
yeah.
Because we're on the 9:55 flight, which it works out really well. I'm just going to go home, get some dinner, and then Uber out to the airport. And yeah, I wasn't all that excited about this trip.
But you've been watching the poker, and now you're charged up.
Yeah,
I knew it was going to happen to you.
And I've got a tournament I'm playing Friday night that I'm really excited about that's part of the Deep Stacks extravaganza that's going on at the Venetian. So now I'm ready to go.
All right.
So, and now that it's time to go, I'm fired up.
I watched a little bit last night, probably more than I would have expected to. And I was cheering for Dario, the guy who got second place. I told you that yesterday.
Yeah.
And there was a time where it looked like, man, he's going to win this whole thing. And he just went on a crazy run. And, he had to put himself at risk a couple times and double up a couple times. And, that Livingston just kind of fell apart. And his was like it looked like Ensan was having like a slow melt.
Yeah.
And it felt like he was going to eventually melt, but it seemed like it was going to happen slowly. And, I mean, it just, like, every time that he went heads up, it would be like King Queen against Ace King.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, dude, or King King against King Queen. He couldn't catch a break.
And he went through like 100 million chips in the first hour and a half or so.
Yeah. And then Livingston decided, I'm going to do this melt thing. I'm just going to do it super fast. So he got himself out of there. And then it was back and forth between those two guys. I guess they played, what, 100 hands of heads up?
Yeah. I think 109.
Okay.
Or 119, one of the two.
I went to bed at like one.
Yeah, I finally couldn't hang. I finally couldn't make it. Fell asleep and then got up and watched the recording this morning.
Okay.
So, but it was a lot of fun to watch. I mean,
was it good poker down the stretch?
Yeah, it really was. And Ensan, who I thought, played pretty poorly in addition to running bad for the first half of the thing. And I also felt pretty good because I bet both Sammartino and Livingston at plus numbers before the final table. And at one point, they both had the chip lead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's all you ask for when you make a bet like that. But I thought once it got to heads up and once Sammartino got the big lead and it looked like he was going to run away with it, Imsan played perfect. I mean, he played just damn near perfect poker and wore him down and finally got it. But it was fun to watch. And I mean, it was really those three guys, especially Sammartino early, just picking off some of those, picking off a call with King High, man. I'm like, man, that is just, he read it beautifully.
So he was in ninth place when the final nine started, right?
No, I think he was the guy that went out first, I thought.
Okay, maybe it was when they got down to five or whatever. He was dead ass last, for sure.
He was down to 21 million at one point.
But for most of the last few days, he'd been one of the smaller stacks in the tournament.
Yeah, and then when he got the big stack, you're thinking, oh, okay, this guy's got it. And again, though, it's a different skill set to play a big stack versus a small stack.
Well, and I think they explained it pretty well. If you, and this is, I used to like grind on heads up poker. Like when I was online, I would just my $20 against your $20. Let's just play and it is a different game. Playing heads up poker is a different game. And Matt Dean gave me some real sound advice on it, where he's like, if you are the small blind, don't ever call the big blind. He's like, you either fold if it's not a hand you want to play or raise.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you're calling and then you just have to assume that they're going to bump it. And do you want to play it? So if you want to play it that much, just be the aggressor. And that changes when you grasp that concept. It makes you a lot better, I think, at heads up. But
I'll give you one exception to that. If I have a monster against a guy who I know is going to raise and I want action, like if I've got kings, I'll just call. Yeah. And then he raises and then I come over the top.
Yeah.
And more often than not, because the blinds are so big, you've got them committed at that point and you wind up getting them all in. But that's the one exception. Otherwise, you're 100% right.
But the commentator, I don't know who that lady commentator is.
Jamie something or other.
She's pretty good.
She is. She's really good. I thought the rapport with her and Norman was fantastic.
But she was saying if you don't play a lot of heads up, it's hard to get good at it. And Norman Chad said something that was kind of crazy to me. He said he's never played heads up poker. He's like, I don't play tournaments. And he said, if I play a cash game, there's at least three of us.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I've got basically no experience playing heads up. And it's funny, like you can tell the guys who have it and the guys who don't. It seemed early in their heads up, like Dario had a lot of experience playing heads up.
Yeah.
And Insan did not. But you catch cards at the right time, and boy, how many times did he come up with king?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it seemed like a lot of times those cards hit him.
He just waited for the rush, and that's what you got to do. But I think that's a real important point, because a lot of times now, even if you get down to four players in a lot of these tournaments, you wind up chopping. You don't get a chance to play heads up.
Right.
And I miss playing online heads up.
I do too.
Because that's the best place to get practice. And the reality is, even the best guys aren't playing heads up very often. So it is, and really, three-handed last night, it felt like they were heads up the way they were playing. And I thought that was and I was also surprised at the quality of hands that the guys were getting.
Yeah.
For having three people, there weren't a lot of deuce eights in that stretch.
And that's the other thing. You've got to remember, when you're playing heads up, queen seven pulls up in your hand, that's a very playable hand. Not only a playable hand, a raisable hand,
right,
in a lot of instances. So it's your range goes insane. So there's typically more action when it's heads up, especially at those blind levels. The only, like, people are throwing away deuce eight and, you know,
yeah,
3-6. But for the most part, people want to play their hands because
yours
just has to be better than one other hand.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I hope people kind of picked up on as they were watching. Is your range goes up the fewer players there are. When you get down to six versus nine even,
yep,
then hands that you might fold become playable hands. And then you get down to three, hands that you would certainly fold ordinarily become playable hands.
Oh, yeah.
And
you get down to three players, ace five looks like a monster.
A monster, yeah. And it was just, it's so cool to see. But I I think Emson deserved it. Good, yep. Good to see an old man win. That gives me hope for next year. But
you would have preferred he lose, though.
Well, I like the other two guys better.
And I
put some money on it just because I thought, you know, if either one of them can get close, then I think they're the better player.
Yeah.
And they both had their chances, and he outplayed San Martino down the stretch, and that was the difference.
Well, see, I don't know how it went down the stretch, but like while I was watching it, San Martino was a better heads up player. He was busting him up.
Definitely. And that's why
when I
fell asleep, I expected to wake up and see that he had won.
Not only a better heads up player, but he was the best short table player. Like from the beginning of that broadcast when there was just three of them, he had some bad luck a couple times. Like Livingston ran out of straight on him, like, you know, where he had, you know, he had already had it made.
Wait, but even early on, he made two pair with his A6 and it was second best, and he lost a minimum amount of chips.
Yep.
And I think part of that was because the flush came on the board and it you know,
scared him off.
Slowed Livingston down a little bit too, but. Yeah, that's a hand where you could have easily gone broke.
Yep.
And I mean, I thought he played masterfully. It's just, and it was, Emson was like two different players. The first half of the night, he reminded me of the poor kid last night who had the big stack and was just going backwards and never got it going again. But then, you know, once he kind of settled in, he really did play well. And it was, you know, I think it was one of the more fun tables. But just to show you how hard this is, did you see the graphic they put up last night? How many of the players that made the final table last year finished in the money this year?
No.
Care to guess?
Final table last year finished in the money this year?
Yeah.
I mean, I would guess one?
Zero.
Damn.
Yeah. So that tells you something. But
that's tough, man.
But that's why
that's what Joe Cata.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's crazy. Who's the win guy that finished, like, he had two final tables and then he finished 11th or 12th another time?
Well, that was the guy who won last year. John Sin finished 11th the year before.
That's, yeah.
And then won. And then almost as impressive as Livingston finished 13th last year and 3rd this year.
Man.
That's pretty solid. I mean, you're obviously playing well and you understand how to navigate that tournament if you're in that spot.
Yep.
All right, man, it is so weird looking up at the clock and seeing 112. But I do know it's time to go to break. So don't worry, we'll get to Astros and everything else too. It is the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A little early today. The usual suspects. Don't worry, you'll be able to hear them 4 to 7. It'll be Joel and Nikki 6 today. As I'm thinking Barry's off doing comedy.
Yeah. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Ah. I guess he'll be broadcasting from there the next couple days.
Yeah.
Is that right? So he's just missing
today? Well, he's missing today. He's going to effort to broadcast from there. I don't know.
There's one place he does that from that is really shaky. I hope that's not the one. A couple things from the Twitchers. Black-spotted zebra, or as they say in Australia, zebra.
Zebra.
Who has gone to Twitch instead of Twitter today. What are the odds you have no hiccups on your flights?
Ooh.
Five percent. There'll always be something.
There's always.
Although I was able to upgrade really cheap, so I'm hopeful that I won't have any issues. Poor Nick, though. I feel for him.
Why?
Because he'll be in the back and somebody will throw up on him or recline on him.
That's true.
McSkee's asking, is that a six pack on the table? It is. Our friends from Buffalo Bayou brought us some beer.
That's true.
This is the Wake and Bake, which is very good. So if you've never tried it, you should. Poopster T says a good place to see cheap heads up action is the hold'em table games in the casino. I basically learned like that because every hand is heads up versus a dealer. You know, I probably haven't played casino hold'em in 10 years.
I haven't either.
But Yeah, I that is an interesting, that's a very interesting skill set to play heads up, because you're right. No, it's not like it's something that's going to happen every day.
Yeah.
But your Astros last night, not so good.
No, not so good. Bullpen day.
Or opener day. Which one was it?
Yesterday was bullpen day.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just checking.
It went about how you would have expected it to go. Not good. Maybe even worse, though, was that the Astros were able to get a bunch of hits and score no runs.
I mean, yeah.
It's not like the Astros offense was asleep or anything. They just couldn't put together any – score two runs on, what, 13 hits?
Yeah.
I mean, that's – come on, man. And the game was over in the first inning. The Angels put up six in the first inning, and you're probably not coming back from that. And, Hector Rondon, the rest of the bullpen actually looked pretty good. I like a little bit of what I saw out of Armenteros. I don't know if he's, you know, gonna stick around. I don't know what their plans are for him. I liked what I saw, though. That was a total disaster.
Yeah, I flipped over from the poker briefly and saw it was 6-0, and I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, probably wise.
I got no interest in this. But I obviously missed the Jake Mariznick thing, which again made Twitter's head explode.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't even see it last night. I saw it today. And good on Jake for, you know, being the bigger man and keeping things from breaking out. And douchebag move by the pitcher to throw high on him. I don't like that. You knew he was going to get hit.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
But again, I don't know that he intended to throw high at him. I mean, when you're trying to hit a guy, it's not as easy as you think, even for a really good major league pitcher. But, I thought that was a little chicken bleep. But it probably had to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, that's it's one of those silly baseball rules. It was so funny, though. I was listening to Cody on the way in. He was about which Astro would you most want to fight and least want to fight. And it's like, guys, these are baseball players. I know they're athletes, but of all the athletes that you'd want to fight, I mean, I'd probably put soccer player first, but then baseball player.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to fight anybody. I'm too old and I don't care. But, you know, that I love the tough guys in baseball that walk towards the dugout like they're going to do something. It's like, come on, guys. You know, but that's another one of those silly unwritten rules. You get to hit people.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776 on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. And I have a really good gem of the day that Tracy sent us.
I saw that. Oh, my God.
I'm saving that for gem of the day. But that's just a tease ahead to 245. Is that when we'll do it? I'm totally confused by.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I'm just as thrown through a loop trying to figure out timing wise, because there's certain things that have to play during our show, certain things that have to play during their show. But now that you switch it, it's all. Yeah. I have to write everything down. I've got 4 pages of notes just trying to make sure I don't forget anything.
Good job. Look at you.
Yeah.
Making a little extra effort here.
Listener Jeremy on Facebook says, finally, the 1-4 slot will be the number one in the city.
Come on.
Guys, hey, you know what? Let me say this nice and simple. It's okay to listen to both shows.
It is.
In fact, we encourage it. They have a really good show. And, you know, I'm not big on, like, I don't really like the people text and stuff and bash other shows. I just ignore it. Because we've got really good shows across the board here, from starting with John and Lance to our show. And I really like what Joel and Barry and Nick do. And, you know, I think it's appreciate them all for different. For what they are. You bastards, I use the shows to judge how far I am in the day.
Yeah,
it
I know.
It just freaked me out. I thought I was way behind. It's slowing us off, too. We're doing our best. And Jermaine sent me a text. Took a nap in the work car. Freaked out hearing you guys thought I overslept.
Quit taking a nap in the work car, slacker.
Exactly. Exactly. That's not how you should spend your lunch. Should be out hustling, man. Yeah. And that's why I'm always, when people tune in and they hear us and they don't know that we switched, it's like, well, what happened to Joel and Barry? And so I kind of feel like I have to repeat that at least once a segment because people aren't listening the whole time. And yeah, we tried to warn everybody. So we did the best we could. McSkeeza says, tell them to start reading the Twitch. It's just it's just another adjustment. Yeah, it's like, Joe, is this the 6-hour blitz happening? What did I miss?
No,
we're not working that hard. Come on.
Just switching it up for a day.
Yeah. And so we can all get to Vegas in one piece.
That's right.
Well, so that AJ can get to Vegas in one piece.
Yeah.
It's really about
me
him.
Getting there is what's important.
And, you know, there's no diva-ism there, but we did adjust everything for you.
Yes.
So you can judge that yourself. Phil Hellmuth finished 6th in the...
He won a bracelet, though, this
No, he didn't.
No?
He won one last year.
Okay.
But he finished 6th in the 5K Turbo, which, pretty good run.
That is a good run. Boy, you get to that point, don't you kind of expect him to win, though?
Yeah. When he gets to a final table, he knows what to do. But he was looking really good. It was event 89. And 94 grand for his 6th place finish.
All right. He was off of what buy-in?
5,000.
Okay.
So, ran into aces. So, happens. But, yeah, it's a damn good run.
Yep.
I'm surprised that he was able to play that and do the break commentary last night.
Yeah.
Because I thought
he did a good job with that, too.
He did. He and Maria both, I thought, were fantastic. I think the quality of those broadcasts is just through the roof because if you don't really care about poker, they do keep it. They explain it to where you can understand what they're talking about. And if you do care, man, they give you some insight.
Yeah.
So Christina says, can I please get a note from my boss to send me home? I'm programmed to end my day when the blitz is on.
Sorry.
Yeah. We'll get through this together, guys.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you guys about Carbach. And if you haven't been out to the brewery, you're a dumb. That's as simple as I can put it. They've got a fantastic restaurant out there. They've always got a bunch of beer on tap. And they've always got beer on tap that you won't be able to get anywhere but the tap room. And that's what's kind of cool about that place. If you like to try new beers, that's the place you should go. Their menu, dynamic, expansive. I mean, they've got everything from steak and pizza to poutine, if you want that. They've got some fantastic crab cakes. Everything they do there is top-notch. I really love the food there. Open 7 days a week. And again, everything on the menu pairs perfectly with something that they've got for you to drink there on the board. When you're out and about this weekend, pick up Carbach at the grocery store, the gas station, wherever you buy your beer. If you're out at the bar, ask the bartender to make it a Carbach. And follow Carbach on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to find out everything going on at the brewery, everything going on at the restaurant, everything going on with their concert series. That's Carbach Brewing.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Just FYI, that was Hellmuth's 12th cash of this World Series. Two final tables, one was an online. But that was his biggest score. He had the 94,000. He had a $39,000 score on the online and a 13,000 on event 28, which was a $1,000 hold'em, which I'm depending on the schedule next year, I think I'm going to play 3 events is my goal.
Okay.
Because I like that senior one. I'm going to play that. And then there's a 1500 six max. I really like playing six handed. And then the main, that's my goal for 2020. So we'll see how it goes. 713-780-ESPN. Couple things. What are the odds Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double next season? You know what? I think it's not impossible, and because the points might be, if it might be where he drops off, but it's not hard to average 10 points.
Yeah.
I would expect he'll do really well with assists and rebounds again. I don't know that it's impossible.
I wouldn't say it's impossible. I'll go 45%. I'm going to go okay. a little
less than half.
A little less than half.
But that's
I mean, it's crazy that one person ever, I mean, has done that, and then now all of a sudden we're like, maybe 50-50 shot.
Do you have room for one in your luggage? Just got back a few weeks ago, but looking to go back. I'm not checking any bags, Philip. Sorry.
I'm actually bringing a very small bag. Still checking it.
Yeah.
But a very small bag because I don't have to, I don't have to take all the stuff I normally take because I'm not going to the actual fight this time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to take a jacket. I don't have to take, you know, dress shoes. I don't have to. It's a lot simpler. Just packing for 2 days, 3 days.
I had had to do something I swore I'd never do again today. I had to go to Walmart.
Oh, no.
And every time, I always say I'm never doing this again, but I had our dryer broke again, and instead of just constantly getting the damn things fixed, we decided to replace them.
Okay.
So the new ones came today, so I didn't know if I was going to have time to wash clothes before the trip, and I haven't washed clothes in a week, so I have very little stuff left to take with me.
What does your wife do?
Work. But,
weird.
So the bottom line is I'm almost out of underwear and socks, so I had to go buy some, and I needed to get, you know, I always use my gym bag for carry-on, but because I haven't washed my gym clothes, it absolutely reeks. So
you had to get a bag.
So I had to get a new bag. I'm walking through there, and every time I go through there, I'm just like, I can't believe some of the people that exist. But when it's summer and there's kids there too, that's Walmart at its worst. Like, there was this woman that's got like 11 kids, I don't know, and one of them is just walking through the clothes area, just knocking things off, like shirts and stuff like that. Just like every rack, knocking something on the floor. Mother never says anything. And one of the employees just watched and didn't say a word. It's like, you're the one who's going to have to pick those up, you know? Yeah. I'm not doing it. But, man, what a bunch of weird. And, of course, I get in line behind that same woman. And, you know, when you run your credit card 8 times and it gets rejected 8 times, I don't think you need to do it a ninth.
Yeah, it's probably enough.
I think by the 8th time, you can say, okay. And see, I thought the line would go fast because it looked like there were a bunch of people in line, but they were all kids.
Right.
So it's like, technically, I was only 3rd in line. I'm like, okay, this is cool. Get the hell out of here. And then, as always, when I'm trying to leave, I get behind some lady on one of those damn rascals, and she's going really slow, and she's really wide, so I can't get around her. And I'm just like, all I want to do is get the hell out of this place. And you always get behind the slowest person. So I'm saying it now, never again. Never. I should have just gone to Target, but there's one over by the station here, so I want to stop on the way and make it easy.
There's a Walmart over here by the station?
Yeah, like on the other side of West Park.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Target over here, too.
Where is that?
Like San Felipe and 610.
Okay, that's the other direction. Yeah. Well, see, I've drive by that one when I...
Yeah, but now you know.
Yeah, well... Hopefully, I'll never have to do it again. I buy everything online now for the most part. It just, I cut it short because I thought we'd have the new stuff installed so I could do it this afternoon, get all my stuff washed. But it's going to be dicey, so I had to go to Walmart. Not happy about it.
Start doing your laundry.
Well, I would if the damn thing worked. See, so here's my choice.
The washer or dryer broken?
The dryer broke.
Oh, you can hang those clothes up in the shower.
Well, I've thought about just putting them on the damn balcony. It's been so hot, those things will dry in no time. But I don't really want people driving by and seeing my underwear. It's kind of gross.
Okay.
Yeah. But
not a big deal.
But yeah, we got a new washer dryer. So between that and all the medical expenses, I'm not exactly packing a ton of bankroll for Vegas, but
yeah, I feel you. Same here.
I got enough. I got enough to do some damage.
Paying for my family to vacation.
Yeah. No, we were talking about that the other day, man. Ugh. You get three people on a flight.
Yeah,
that's
hotels and food. I mean, for 3 weeks?
Yeah, that's
come on.
That's an expense.
Yeah.
713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in. And I don't know if you saw this, but Larry Brown Sports did their 10 teams that have to make a trade at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
He has the Astros 10th.
That's surprising.
Says, on the surface, they would seem to have everything sitting comfortably in first place. However, they could use another starter behind Verlander and Cole, which I know we've talked about pretty much every day. Says, it won't be the end of the world if the Astros opt to stand pat.
Oh, okay.
But in the loaded American League, their best shot at matching up with the Yankees may be to load up on pitching. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm not taking that chance. Sorry.
Atlanta Braves. So they also need a pitcher.
Yeah.
Phillies, which is weird because they've had a lot of injuries and things haven't quite worked out for them.
Yeah. From the Phillies, I'm trying to trade off Bryce Harper.
Yeah, if they're kind of in that nowhere land where if you go all in and don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cubs have already started making moves. That's another one. Said they got the Indians. It says they're in a strange spot. While they probably like to add players, the financial realities mean they may actually have to trade key names instead. We've talked about that a little bit. I think if I'm Cleveland, I just keep everybody, try to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing really good ball right now, too. So that's probably the way that I would lean as well. But it's small market mentality sometime. And you can't count on a wild card spot. I think they're a few spots out from that, like a few games back from that. And they're like 5 games back in the division. So they're in a weird spot. I think they're a team that's probably gonna have to decide like right at the deadline what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Probably have some plans one way or the other.
Minnesota
is they're set up pretty nicely. They seem to be kind of the forgotten team, but they're record wise they're right there with the Yankees and the Astros. People seem to forget their run differential. The only team in the AL that has a better run differential is the Yankees, so their run differential is better than the Astros. I don't know what exactly they would look to add. I mean, I'm guessing it would be another arm, too. That's what everybody seems to want. But, yeah, that's a team that I would expect to be working. When I was talking about the Indians being 4 or 5 games out, that's who they're chasing. So they want to stay ahead of them.
Washington, which they looked done for early on.
They did.
And there was talk of Max Scherzer being traded and things like that. And they won 25 out of 35.
Yeah, they're not. They're probably not going to catch Atlanta for the division. Because this whole run that Washington's been really good, Atlanta's stayed hot. But they are, I think they've moved into the number one spot in the wild card standings in the NL. So they're probably, I would say they're favored to make the playoffs at this point.
Milwaukee?
Yeah, Milwaukee's there in a tight spot. At least as of yesterday, they were the number two team in the wild card. Let me just pull up the standings real quick so I can actually know where teams are. But that's a team that, I feel like when you've got a guy like Yelich and you were so close, you've got to be a team that's willing to make a jump. But again, they're limited by market restraints and how much money they're making.
They have the Red Sox at number two, and it's funny because they've got talented starters and they're scoring runs. Their problem's really the bullpen, among other things.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot because they're 3 games out of the second wild card spot right now. And they're not catching the Yankees for sure. But I mean, if they get cold for a week, they could drop from third in the wild card spot to fifth in the wild card fourth in the wild card spot to sixth, because Texas and the Angels are both a game behind them. So Boston's, and that's a team where, you talk about markets and what's expected of you. That's a team where they're not expected to worry about cost.
Right.
But if you spend a whole boatload of money and then don't make the playoffs, or a boatload of prospects and don't make the playoffs, that ain't good.
And the thing is, their prospect, they don't have the prospects that they used to have because they've sold so many of them off.
Because they've stayed competitive for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So they may not have... Like, I know they'll be one of the teams competing with the Astros for some of these starters maybe, but they don't really have the assets the Astros right. do. And then you have the Yankees, which...
You know they're making plays.
Well, and that's the thing. They... I think they may have the best team in the league.
And they've got a willingness to add to it. They've got really solid pieces that they can move. Like, they're taking a guy like Clint Frazier, who is already at the big league level and is already a proven commodity at the big league level, is young and controllable for the next, 5 years?
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what, let's trade him for an arm. That'd be like, imagine the Astros trading Yordan Alvarez for a pitcher. Because Clint Frazier was a bigger, a higher touted prospect than Yordan Alvarez was. I'm not saying he's going to be a better player. I don't know. But that's a guy who was the man as far as prospects go. And now he's been in the big leagues. He's been a solid hitter so far in the big leagues. But they're like, you know what? Instead of us developing him, we've got outfielders. Let's trade him for a guy who can pitch and get us a World Series this year. I respect that.
All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's an early version of the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Let's go to Twitter for a few things. Tyler said, I listened for 12 hours straight the day after the Russ trade. I love hearing all the different takes. Okay, I did have to give my ears a break during the 11 to 1 hours with Patrick Creighton in for Charlie. It's Creighton. He's not a cretin. He's energetic. Battery says, reminds me of the 12 to 2 days when I could hear the whole show live. Now I have to listen to the first half live and the second half on podcast since you guys switched. And then Hot Tracy, hearing us on during lunch reminds me of when AJ was actually nice, Fred was young, and I would be one of the few listeners at a remote.
I don't remember any of those things.
I don't ever remember being young. I do remember a remote where it was one of the first ones we ever did, and Tracy was the only one there. It was up in North Houston.
Nice.
I do remember that.
Remember, though, Tracy, you've aged the exact same amount that we've aged over the last 10 years.
Yeah, but she started, you know, way behind us. So she's...
No. Tracy's older than me. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a young buck.
She's aged...
Yeah, she's aged better than me, fine. But she's aged the same amount as me.
Yeah, that was, I want to say, that might have been the very first remote we did. And
I think the very first remote we did was at a place in Sugar Land where...
I thought that came later.
I don't know. There was zero people there for that.
Yeah, there was one with zero people. And then there was one... And this is why it would have been kind of fun to have Peter to hang around and talk about some of this stuff that we had to deal with in the beginning. There was one place in Sugar Land where, and this was the first time the Final Four was here, so whatever year that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an appearance on a Saturday where basically they just sent me out there to do some call-ins. And the guy who owned the place was bitching at me that nobody was there. And I'm like, well, you know. You just talk to the ad guy here or whatever. I mean, he's just going off on me. And like, it was supposed to be Carl Dukes, and Carl Dukes didn't want to come. I'm like, well, okay.
Sorry, you got me instead, bro.
Sorry, you got me instead of Carl. And he was just going off. And I'm like, man, do I really want to do this the rest of my life and sit here and get bitched at by people? And then we had like four people show up. And, you know, which was cool, really cool blitzers. Enjoyed talking to them. But the guy goes, oh, where is there more? when are you broadcasting? It's like, well, I'm doing call-ins. And it's like one of those where whoever the ad rep was didn't want to deal with the guy, so he basically just threw me to the wolves.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But there was... I had some of the things you have to do. I had to do an appearance at a cons one time.
Oh.
And it was as hot as it is now, and we were outside. And it was for 2 hours, and I'm just like, oh my God, how did I get here?
Yeah.
So it's nice to, you know, it's nice to be where we are, but it's also kind of fun to be reminded of it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
That we were grinding it out. DQ said, I had
when I was in Austin, the worst idea ever was they thought it was a good idea to sell Longhorn postgame shows at Maggie Mae's on 6th Street. So we're trying to do postgame show, and I mean, there are people there who are just annihilated.
Oh God, I bet.
And it's so loud, and we're trying to do like post-game shows for the Longhorn games at this place. It was the most ridiculous thing, and I bitched about it nonstop. But this place they paid a bunch of money for us to be there every time. And I was like, I'd listen back to the broadcast. I mean, we were barely audible because there was so much background noise, but okay. That's what you're into.
Oh, was it worse than the time we did the show at the Texas Bowl, and you made the comment about the Tech women? And
it was much louder there.
Yeah.
People tried to fight me at Maggie Mae's, just like they did there. Or at least that girl encouraged her boyfriend to fight me. He was like, honey, chill out.
Yeah, she was already pretty toasted herself.
Yeah.
And but yeah, back in the old days, we would take whatever we could get and be happy to have it. So it's nice to have, especially in this time slot, it was always pretty hard to get appearances. But Todd and those guys have done such a good job with it now that, you know, Barry and Joel get out a lot. And it helps that the station is doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, God, we were always in there punching back then, even when the rest of the station didn't do much. But it's amazing how far this thing has come. But it's nice to be reminded, because sometimes it gets easy to, you know, you get thinking, you know, we're doing pretty well with this thing.
Yep.
And whenever I'm always scared to death to get to that point where I think, we're doing really well. Because every time I do that, I decide it's time to quit whatever I'm doing. Because if you think you've arrived at any point,
slow down.
Then, yeah, you lose your edge. You lose your drive, or at least I do, and
yeah.
I don't want any part of that. That would be boring. So, yeah, if you're just tuning in, we're doing this today. Just switch with the usual suspects, so you can still get your usual suspect fix. Don't be worried; they'll be there. And then tomorrow and Friday, we'll be broadcasting live from beautiful Las Vegas,
sunny Las Vegas. Yeah. At least I hope so. I didn't check the weather.
Well,
I didn't panic anything warm, so
I'm a little bit concerned about one thing. Did you see where we're going to be broadcasting from?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be kind of like the setup we had for the
McGregor fight,
McGregor Mayweather fight,
yeah.
Which was fine.
Yeah, that was good.
When they say we're broadcasting from a tent setup, I mean,
yeah, that's the first thing you think is, but
this is like a fully air conditioned, you know, carpeted. It's not a tent. Well, I mean, I guess it technically is a tent because there's not brick and mortar walls. But
and the tents we were in last time were in the complex where the shooting took place.
Yeah,
which was after that by a couple of weeks actually.
Yep.
So yeah, so we'll be broadcasting from a tent, but hopefully I have some good guests. I'm working on getting Norman Chad to come in and join us. Hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah,
because talk a little World Series of Poker and stuff like that. Plus he's just a funny dude. And he's got a lot of good stories from it's funny that back in my Chronicle days, one of the most fun things we did, he did a couch slouch column where he just wrote a column, and it was basically humor, and it was just him being him, and it was funny as hell. And was trying to get him to start doing it again for Sports Map, but I think he's out of my price range now.
Yep.
He's kind of a big deal, but it's amazing though what he's done with that gig. He and Lon especially. I mean, those, and man, I was there when I was there last time. I was walking through the Rio with him, and he couldn't get through the place without getting stopped 50 times for pictures
famous.
And things like that. So among the poker world, he's a god. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Someone says, as a man, don't we take what we can get? Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're talking about different things, but but somehow it's the same.
Well, speaking of being a man.
Yeah, a real man.
A real man.
I'm a man.
A real man will get his testosterone checked. If you're feeling sluggish, you're not getting the gains at the gym that you used to get, you are tired all the time, maybe you're not performing, if you know what I mean, it could be low testosterone. And there's ways to fix it. And a lot of the other places will tell you, oh, go with synthetic injections, and you can do that, and you'll be addicted to it, and you will have to go in every week and get your shot. And if you don't make it in 1 week, you're going to crash, and then you're going to feel like even worse. The Y Factor, they take a more natural approach to treating your testosterone levels. They've developed a comprehensive treatment plan designed to correct the underlying problem and enhance your natural production of testosterone at a much better rate. That's what they're trying to do at the Y Factor. The Y Factor, dedicated to men's urological wellness. Schedule your appointment now at mancenters.com. They've got three locations in the Houston area. That's the Y Factor, mancenters.com.